Well, y'all, I had to travel this week, but my inspiration for this message didn't come from traveling. I prayed about it this week, but I actually had it Sunday. Actually, a little bit of Saturday. And I didn't really understand it. It just kind of built up as the week went by. It actually came from one of our children's church lessons. Lisa and Darlene and Vondale, they all just... they put a lot of thought into these lessons, and they're really just developing a continuity with these kids. Like, they just finished up a whole series on Moses, and it was different aspects of Moses' life, and we showed you some pictures, parting the Red Sea and the little snake on the stick, and the kids are learning details of this from these stories, and from the stories, they're gaining biblical facts, and they started a little series on Joshua. And one of the lessons involved the time that Joshua sent spies to the city of Jericho. And they were protected by Rahab the prostitute. That was their little craft. And I thought that was just so cute. And for some reason, it stuck with me. All through the week, I've never really had this happen before in delivering a message. Normally, I'm out on the week, and Lord knows this week was one of them. I get to Idaho. The construction company is supposed to put up channels, little guys that you hang your monitors on. Monitor, arm, view screen, about 60 pounds. And I'm not a construction person, but half-inch screws in this channel, it don't really do a good job. So by 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, one of our guys had been hitting a hard hat. Thankfully, he was wearing his hard hat. Almost busted up his arm really good, and one of our monitors was on the floor. So they had to go back, the construction company, because there are gas lines running behind some of these walls. So the hospital construction people have to put it up. So they had to go back, uninstall and reinstall all these channels. So I had all kinds of lessons. One of them was on self-control. One of them was on that do not take the Lord's name in vain. I came really close that week to do it, but none of that stuck out. Rahab, for some reason, this woman who I had never ever thought about other than being a whore, prostitute, harlot, a brief mention, a footnote in the Bible, she kept coming to my mind. And I prayed about it, and I started looking about it. I started looking about in the commentaries about her, and I found a different level of her. The story takes place, Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Joshua sent spies into the city of Jericho. And if you read Joshua much, normally, when Joshua's on his game, you'll see God instructed Joshua to do. That's missing here. God had already told Joshua, this land is yours. It's yours. Just go on in. I will instruct you. He didn't instruct him to send spies. But Joshua, I think, had some level of doubt and wanted to make sure. And when Joshua did stuff on his own and went off the reservation, things just didn't go well. The two spies, according to church tradition, their names were Salmon and Phinehas. It doesn't mention it in here, but there are extra, like, out-of-church sources that name those two as the spies that Joshua sent. And I always wondered something, because in verse 1, they went to the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab. Why'd they go there? Like, when we go somewhere, we end up at the Walmart. Wherever it's at, we end up at Walmart. Why did they go to a house of prostitution? In the Near East, at that point in time, the house of a harlot was similar to an inn. And you had people going in and out of there. They were trying to be inconspicuous. So that's one of the reasons why they came there, trying to fit in. And the spies were, one, a place where they didn't fit in, you know, where they wouldn't stand out. And also Rahab's house was actually on the wall of Jericho. So it would have been a good escape route. Turned out, though, they were led there, not by their decision, but it was God ordained. As we go through this, it was more of a God thing than you would think. And of course, as it happens, the more you try and keep a secret, the sooner other people know. Eventually, word got back to the king of Jericho in verse 2 that there were people here from Israel. And he found out they were at Rahab's house, and he asked her, send them on out. We're going to deal with them. As I read verses 2 and 3, I thought about times in my life when I thought I had a better plan than God, like Joshua. I was just going to help him out. God didn't tell Joshua to send spies. And if God's, when he's not with us, how often do things go well? Very seldom for me. Very seldom. Those guys were on their own in a house of prostitution with an army outside ready to kill them. But was God finished with them? Did God abandon them? Does he abandon us sometimes when we go off the reservation? He may help us learn a lesson, but he doesn't abandon us. Rahab, though, had took the two men and hidden them, and she made up a story to the most powerful person in the city, person by one word. She could have been killed. Her entire family could have been tortured and killed. She hid them in their house, and the army went down the road pursuing them. Rahab, and think about her situation. Prostitutes today have a very low standing in society. They call it the world's oldest profession. It probably is. But they've always lived on the fringes. Those that no one will speak to during the day, but many visit at night. This was the life she lived. Every ancient society, and it still continues today, has some type of societal level. Some type of cultural level, from the elite all the way down to those that are basically considered untouchable. We have it today. It's in different levels. It's different. They're called different things. She had an opportunity. You think about what she could have done. She could have told the king, I might know where they're at. X number of pieces of gold, new house, title. And you have to consider the level of threat that the Israelites posed. They had already come into the promised land. They had already destroyed a couple of different kingdoms. The stories were there. They knew it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when they were coming. Capturing two soldiers from that army would have been invaluable. That king would have given anything. Rahab didn't try and twist this into her favor. Person in her line of work at that time, very likely not to see old age. Probably would have been beaten, killed, sexually transmitted disease, or died in childbirth. They were shunned by almost everyone. I imagine that Rahab in many ways felt she was so far gone that she just, there was no one for her. There was nowhere for her to go. She didn't seize on that opportunity, though. I'm sure it crossed her mind. Her way out by man, her way out to riches, her way out of this life she had lived. Why didn't she take advantage of it? She gets the men out from up under her roof where she'd hid them under stacks of flax. And she starts talking to him, and she tells him, I know the Lord's given this land to you, and we're afraid. And I know that the Lord dried up the Red Sea when the Egyptians pursued you, and their armies were wiped out. We know that what you did to the king of the Amorites when you cross the Jordan. And I want you to swear to me by God that you'll protect me and my family and spare my family. In this story, who had the most faith in God? So far, Joshua, who had seen manna fall every day and quail for 40 years. He had seen Moses touch a rock and water pour out from it. He was alive during the Exodus. He saw the Red Sea part. He was there when the Jordan River, he led them across with the Ark of the Covenant. Did he have the most faith? No. He ordered spies because somewhere deep down inside he had a doubt after all he had seen. Salmon and Phineas, they went along with it. They may not have been alive during the Exodus, but they saw the daily miracles of God provide for them. Who had the most faith in this? A harlot, a prostitute, a pagan. She had the most faith in this story. That was amazing to me. I had never thought of that. This woman who was untouchable, this woman who no one would speak to in the light of day, this woman who could have changed her life by turning over two strangers, made a decision. She had faith in the Israelite God. Rahab took on a deeper level for me with that realization. She made a decision that would alter her life. And the lives of so many others. She had to remind Salmon and Phineas of this. This woman who had heard this by word of mouth, they lived it. When they went back and went to their tent, they could see the tabernacle that the Ark of the Covenant was in. They actually saw the Ark of the Covenant. Many of us read about miracles of God. These people saw it on a daily basis. 6 days a week, they were fed until they crossed over the Jordan. This generation, all of them had seen it. This prostitute, this woman that had lived a sin-filled life, had more faith in God than people who had been exposed to the daily miracles their entire lives. In that moment that Rahab deceived the king of Jericho and his army, she made a decision to follow God's will and defy a worldly king. Her life changed. This woman, if we're honest, many of us wouldn't even look her way. If we're all really honest, and I might be at the top of that list, would this woman be welcomed in a lot of churches today? She had more faith in that decision that God, and was an example that God could work through anyone. Anyone. God was preparing her heart. She was the one he spoke to. It wasn't Joshua to do this. It wasn't those two spies. It was Rahab that he spoke to. Hebrews 11:31, in Hebrews chapter 11, is a definition of faith. And it is examples of faith by the great men and women of the Bible. You know who's mentioned in 31? Rahab. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. The book of James, half-brother of Jesus, she's mentioned in chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. She had the faith, and she talked the talk and walked the walk. It was Rahab acting in faith. Not one of the greatest military leaders of the Bible. She's the one speaking God's words to them. She's the one who acts in faith helping those spies. And God used her to redeem their bad decision. She asked for grace and mercy from the spies for her and her family in verse 12. Even her wording, though, in verse 12, swear to me by the Lord. She wasn't asking for their word. Word of God. That's the faith she had. It was just the more layers that I peeled back on this woman was just amazing. You look at that type of reaction for her to do this. This woman and her entire family could have been killed for helping spies. That was a common practice. They didn't just put you to death, they put your entire family to death. She had more faith than those two men of God that were in front of her and the one that directed her. In verse 14, the men agree that if you don't tell our business, we will protect you. And I think Rahab's faith rubbed off on these two. The verse 14 is the first time in this chapter that an Israelite mentioned God. We're about two-thirds or halfway through this chapter. A pagan is mentioning God more than people that have been around God and worship God their entire lives, because she's seen the power of our Lord. This woman, who many would consider too far gone in her own life, decided that she was going to do what was right in God's eyes. It had an impact on her life. In verses 15, 16, 17, 18, though, her and the spies talk. She lets them down by a scarlet cord, and they tell her. She tells them where to go, to the hill country, hide out there for 3 days. And they say, well, we appreciate it, but if for any reason you don't have this cord tied and your family's not with us, we're free from this. We're free from this oath. And you think about it, when you make a choice to turn to God, to turn your life around, it's not a single action. You can't use God like a spare tire, get you out of trouble, and put him back in the trunk. It don't work that way. Just like you can't come to church, be holy for 1 hour, and live with the devil the other 167 hours in the week, and expect God to bail you out. There's an action. There's a consequence to what we do or what we don't do. They were explaining that consequence to her. That is part of the relationship. We all have a relationship. God worked through these spies to establish a covenant, an agreement with Rahab. And with an agreement, there's duties and obligations on both sides. Rahab's salvation and the salvation of her family was depending on her willingness to do what she was told in this agreement. I also don't think it's a coincidence that a shade of red was chosen for this cord. Think about the significance of it. How did, before the Israelites left Egypt, how did the angel of death in the 10th and final plague know which houses to go to and which to avoid? Blood. Red blood. Over the doorpost. By an unblemished lamb. Scarlet. Everyone in Jericho was eventually going to be destroyed except for one house that had scarlet on it. When Jesus would come to earth and have his earthly ministry, how were we redeemed? Through his red blood. His salvation. There's always been salvation in the stories of the Bible I've seen in some way, shape, or form with red, with blood. I think the scarlet represents blood. They could have chose any color, any cord, any type. Why that? It was expensive. Colored thread, colored cord was very expensive then. It could have been a sign to the enemy, if I was captain of the guard, why is that cord out there? Rahab wasn't afraid to show her blood, her color, outside of her house. That says a lot, because there's a lot of times it can be very uncomfortable to show what we feel in here out there. This prostitute, this whore, who made a decision that changed her life, was not afraid to let that cord down and show that she was different. They continued to tell her that if any of your family is outside of the house during this attack, they're on their own. Their blood will be on their own head. And if you betray us, we'll be free from this oath. And she said, all right, I agree. According to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, did what she was supposed to. The spies remind Rahab that anyone that goes outside has violated their agreement, and they're on their own. If she violates the agreement by betraying them, she's on her own. They're done. We have obligations in our agreement with Jesus, our journey with Jesus. Like Rahab and her family, if we go out and associate with people we ain't supposed to, and that dog lies down and gets fleas, it's not God's fault. Doing things that we know we're not supposed to be doing, there's consequences to these actions. When Rahab tied that scarlet cord outside her window, she made a public display. How many of us actually display our scarlet cord in public? How many of us pray in a restaurant? How many of us aren't afraid if we like a cross to show it? How many of us aren't afraid to talk to someone about Jesus? This woman, who was considered dirt by many, threw her cord out the window, had more faith than Moses' successor. Moses, who God had known no one else like that before him, or had that type of relationship before him or since him, but God spoke to Joshua. God himself spoke to Joshua. This woman who had never heard God had more faith than he did when he sent those spies in. She had faith in what God had done and what God was going to do. The story could end here, but it doesn't. God wasn't finished with Rahab. Chapter 6, verse 25, the Israelites conquered Jericho. They kept their word. Rahab and her family were spared and allowed to live in Israel. This woman, to me, thought of as trash and worthless, displayed more faith in God than one of the greatest heroes in the Bible. She wasn't too far gone for God to change her life because she was willing. And it wasn't willing to get out of trouble. It was willing to do what she was told and have a lifelong change. Rahab is mentioned again in the Bible, though. Matthew 1, which is the lineage of Jesus. She eventually marries Salmon, one of the spies. They have a son named Boaz. Boaz may sound familiar to you. The book of Ruth, he married Ruth. They gave birth to a son called Obed. Obed had a son called Jesse. Jesse probably sounds real familiar because he was the father of David, the king. From this whore came the line of King David. Who came from King David? Jesus is a direct descendant. Is by no mistake. This is a power of redemption. This is a story of faith and redemption, and through 1,000 years, what she did was still having impact. When I started looking at genealogy, it was amazing to me. This all started from someone who made a decision to look beyond her own need, to feel a faith in a God that she had only heard about, and make a decision that was altering her life. She chose faith over funding. And in her decision, in her obedience to God, it had implications far beyond what she would ever imagine. There may be someone that you're thinking is too far gone. It may even be yourself. I've had points in my life where I thought I was good for nothing. I thought I was used up. There may be people, I have people in my mind, you probably have them in yours, that you think they're one step away. And if they don't turn around, they're headed towards self-destruction. I look at Rahab as an example of if someone is just willing to at least give it a chance, what God can do for them. This was a woman at the lowest rungs of society. This was a woman that had an opportunity to be loaded for the rest of her life. She took the hard way out. She took the way of God. And look what happened. Look the role she played in the development of the Christian church. Through her, her great-grandson was the mightiest king of Israel. One of her descendants, God chose to be his vessel for this world. And it all sprang up from a lowly person in the city in Canaan. The things we do, the decisions we make, can have impacts way beyond our lives. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the music will be playing. There may be someone in your life that when you think about, or it may be you, if you think about they're far gone. Look at this lady. God can move in anyone. They just have to be willing to take the chance. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. And Father, we see this example of this woman that many times I've looked over in Scripture. Father, she was a magnificent example of faith. Faith in you. When others who had known more about you didn't have it. And Father, you used this woman. You used her in her life and beyond. And Father, as we come to you in prayer, we just ask that you use us. Work through us. Lead and guide our hands, our actions, our words in ways that are pleasing and right in your eyes. And Father, those that we are all thinking about, Father, that we wonder if they are too far gone. Father, come into their hearts. Help them, Father, to just that one action, that one thing that can put them back on the right road, that can help them to get one foot in front of another and give them the discipline to obey your agreement, to do what they're supposed to do, Father, to turn their lives around, to take Jesus in their hearts, Father, to turn back from this road they're on. Father, you know the faces, you know the names, you know what needs to be done. And Father, we just ask that you lift them up, Father, to turn them, to use Rahab's example, Father, help them to make that one decision that will turn their lives around. And Father, that they may touch a person and those people touch people. Father, we just ask that we carry your words outside of this church into this broken and hurting world that's filled with so many people that think they are just too far gone even for you. Father, help us to be fireflies in the darkness and spread your light out there. And make this world a better place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all, the altars are open.